Proverbs 25 tonight. Proverbs 25. We're going to look at one verse here in a moment, verse number 12. By the way, Pastor Roberts also gave me CDs of my message from the February youth rally, so I will put these on the back table if anybody is interested, but the message also will find its way tomorrow onto our website, and you can listen to it from there as well. And that message is on regenerate church membership and its importance. Proverbs chapter 25, notice verse number 12. It says, as an earring of gold and as an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. An ornament of gold or an earring of gold, according to this text, to the ear is as a wise reprover is to an obedient ear. And normally, you know, that decorative piece of jewelry is something that is acceptable, something that is welcomed and is not seen as an offense. As I said, it's something rather that is welcomed, and so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. If you have a heart to hear and to heed the Word of God, the reproofs of instruction that are found in the Bible will not be unwelcomed. They'll be something that will be embraced and accepted. But it's really a different thought that I'm going to bring you tonight in this message. And really, the thoughts are the result of Pastor Davis's, or former Pastor Davis's, message from the youth rally. He just got me thinking a lot about the relationship between a pastor and a church. And so I'm just going to share with you a number of things about that particular relationship tonight. I know many of you, probably half of you, were at the youth rally on Friday night, and I'm sure you haven't forgotten what was said already, but for the sake of those who weren't present, let me just kind of give you some of the details of the message Friday night. Brother Davis, his message, I believe, was entitled, How to Empower Your Pastor So That You Can Be a Winner. That was the title of his message. He took his text from Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 12. Let me just read to you a portion of those verses. It says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. Here Israel was doing battle with the Amalekites. And as Moses kept his hands raised in the air, the people would move forward into battle and would continue to be victorious. But when his hands and arms grew weary and they began to fall, then the Amalekites would begin to make progress and begin to defeat the people of Israel. And so you can imagine the heartache within Moses, desiring to keep his hands up. But how long can you possibly do that before your arms and hands go numb and they begin to drop? And so their solution to this problem, Aaron and Hur's solution to this problem, was to set him on a rock and to lift his hands for him. And the reason that they did this is because they realized if Moses succeeded in keeping his hands raised, then Israel would succeed and be victorious over the Amalekites. I remember years ago, it's probably been 10 years or longer now, in this very pulpit, in this very church, there were some who opposed me. And I could never understand that. And I made the comment, if I win, you win. And if you win, I win. And that's the way that we should perceive our relationship. The relationship between the pastor and the people. We're in this together. And if one succeeds, then both succeeds. Brother Davis emphasized how wise it would be for people to follow the leadership and or the counsel of their pastor, as he is God's spiritual authority, or at least one of God's spiritual authorities, over their lives. He also mentioned how the things that he was preaching on, the subject matter, was a little bit difficult for him to preach or teach on. Matter of fact, he didn't preach and teach on it for the 36 years that he pastored the church there in Lincoln, Illinois. He didn't preach it until his last Sunday as the pastor of that church. And I can understand his sentiments and how difficult it can be to bring some of these things forward, because if you are the pastor, there's undoubtedly going to be some in your congregation that could misunderstand what you're trying to say and maybe think that you're trying to abuse your power or get people to fall in line and do what you want. I don't ever fear those types of things taking place at Shepherdsville Baptist Church. It seems that I know, or at least I think that I know, the mindset of most of you, and I think you realize that that would never be the case for myself. I simply espouse and teach and preach biblical truth because it's found in the Scriptures. And just for a moment, try to forget about the fact that I am your pastor when talking about your responsibilities towards your pastor. Overall, to me, that message Friday night was perhaps most refreshing, because here was someone who was honoring the position of a pastor. And to me, that is refreshing. I don't know how much Brother Justin will cover next week as we conclude our study of the book of Acts, but there's a wonderful message preached by, I believe, Evangelist Brian McBride from that chapter. And the thought is this: are you going to listen to the professional or the preacher? You going to listen to the captain of the ship, who, by the way, is a professional at ships and storms and such? Are you going to listen to the preacher? Because the Apostle Paul was saying, don't set sail. And the captain of the ship said, set sail. And the crew of that ship learned a valuable lesson. They ought to have listened to the preacher more than the professional. And unfortunately, in our generation, pastors and preachers are no longer respected as they once were. And it's at least in part pastors who are to blame for that, as they fall into sin so often, or at least it's highlighted so often by the media anymore. What I want to do tonight is build upon the youth rally message by looking at two biblical principles and how they apply to the subject of the pastor and his people. The first principle is this: each person is to focus on their individual responsibilities. You might say, where is this taught then, preacher, in the Bible? Well, it's taught in many different places, but to get us started, look at Luke chapter number 3. Luke chapter number 3. Again, the principle is each person is to focus on their own individual responsibilities. And by that I mean they're not to focus on what someone else's responsibilities before God are. They focus on theirs. In this chapter, in Luke chapter 3, I'll begin reading at verse number 8. Jesus says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy. I'm sorry, John the Baptist says, fruits worthy of repentance. Maybe I should back up just a little bit. This is probably more familiar to us, this particular context, when we look at it in the book of Matthew. And in that particular case, it focuses and emphasizes on the Pharisees who came to be baptized. But it says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? What shall we do then? And then different groups of people begin to be addressed specifically. And there's three groups of people who are addressed. And what it says here in this particular context is they are responsible for their duties by God. They're not to focus on someone else's responsibilities before God, but they're to focus on their own. Notice in verse 11, he answers and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Really, this is just addressed to the multitudes in general. What are they to do? And I assume that this is in response to what was said previously. What types of fruits could they demonstrate that would show they truly repented? Well, if they had an extra coat and they gave it to someone in need, that would demonstrate that. If they had extra food and there was someone that was going hungry and they gave it to them, that would demonstrate that they had truly repented of their sins. So this is addressed to the multitudes in general. But if you notice verse 12, it says, then came also the publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. This was something that would apply specifically to the publicans as the tax collectors. From what we read of Bible teachers and historians, the publicans were hated because they took more than was required. And so the Lord says to them, your responsibility is to don't take more than what the law requires. Be fair and just. And then in verse 14, he addressed another group of people, that's the soldiers. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man. Because again, this was something that soldiers were prone to do. And we see that even prior to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, where they punched him and put a crown of thorns on his head and abused him. He says, neither accuse any man falsely. And this was obviously something, again, that soldiers were prone to do, maybe because those in leadership required it from them at times. And then he says, and be content with your wages. And again, when you consider some of these things, it's probably important to know what the Bible says to the people on the other side of the coin, if you will. For instance, here it says, be content with your wages, but you know, to those that would be employers, it says the laborer is worthy of his hire in the Bible. In the book of Leviticus, in the Old Testament law, this is chapter 19, verse 13, it says, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. I'm simply trying to demonstrate that there are principles in the Bible given to those who are laborers, and they're to be content with their wages. And there are principles that are given to the employers. The laborer is worthy of his hire. Pay him. Don't hold back. Of course, you'd get your pay daily back then. We agree to getting it weekly or biweekly sometimes nowadays. But to the employer, he wasn't to hold back and pay the man his wages tomorrow when he had it with him that very day. But the employee, the soldier, wasn't supposed to focus on his employer's responsibilities. Nor was the employer to focus on the employee's responsibilities. But both were to focus on their own. What does God require of me? And that's what we're to focus on. In John 21:22, it says this, Jesus saith unto him, Simon Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Simon Peter questioned the Lord concerning what the Apostle John was to do after his departure. But Jesus says to him, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." Don't worry about John. Don't worry about what he's going to do. You just follow me. You focus on your responsibilities. In Titus, this is in chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again." That was a servant's responsibility to God. But in Colossians 4:1, it gives us the responsibility of the master, and it says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." God deals with each man according to his individual responsibility. And it's wise for us to focus on our responsibility before God other than that of someone else's. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Every man will be judged by his own words, by his own actions, by his own behavior. The book of Ezekiel, I believe, teaches this principle in a couple of different places. In chapter 3 and chapter 33, when it talks about the watchman, what was the watchman responsible for? Preaching the message, giving the message that God gave to him to the people. His responsibility was simply to give the message. And if he gave the message and the message was ignored, then the hearer will be held responsible for that. But at least the watchman had been responsible to do what God committed unto him. It also says in Ezekiel 18, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." In other words, a man will be held accountable for his sins. We won't be held accountable for the sins of our fathers and the sins of our grandfathers. Again, this principle is found throughout the entire Bible. And that principle is this: each person is to focus on their individual responsibilities. And then the second principle I want to highlight is this: peace and prosperity is the result of following God's order. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Peace and prosperity is the result of following God's order. In verse 18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And what are the results then of being filled or controlled by the Spirit? Well, they're given to us here. I believe there's five of them. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's one. Singing and making. There's two more, so you can consider them one. Melody in your hearts to the Lord. Three, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice this last one in verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Did you realize that submission is one of the characteristics of being filled with the Spirit? Of being controlled and led by the Spirit. That's one of the results. You become submissive to those whom you're supposed to be submissive to. Just like when somebody's filled with the Spirit, they sing and make a melody in their hearts and they're filled with joy. Likewise, they submit to their spiritual authorities. Parents, teachers, pastors. In the next few verses, are elaborating upon that very thought. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Not because he's worthy, because maybe he's not. But you're to do it as unto the Lord. The husband is the God figure in the home. And as such, he is the one to be looked up to. He is the one to be sought for counsel and guidance and direction. He's the leader and he's the one to be followed. And so wives are to submit. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. That's what the Bible says. And a woman that's following, that's controlled by the Spirit of God, that is what she will do. And likewise, a husband will love his wife, even as Christ also loved the church. A husband will submit himself to Christ. The head of the woman is the man, but the head of the man is Christ. And a man that is led of the Spirit will say yes, sir, to the Lord and do exactly what he commands. It goes on. I won't read all verses. I'll just highlight a few words. If you look at chapter 6 and verse 1, it says children. It's continuing on with the same thought. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, follow Christ and his example. Children, obey your parents. Verse 5 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Verse 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening. Don't threaten. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. Again, instructions given to lots of different types of people. And when each person performs his or her responsibility before God, you know what happens? It brings about peace and it brings about prosperity. Just think for a moment with me what would happen if someone in the home failed to keep their individual responsibility. Even if it's just one of the children. I don't have to listen to you, Mom. I don't have to listen to you, Dad. That doesn't make for peace. It makes for problems. What if the wife says, I don't care what the Bible says. I ain't listening to you. You're a hypocrite. It doesn't make for peace. And what if the husband says, yeah, but Jesus was never married to you. Nag, nag, nag. And as a result is unloving. People, you know, the skeptics, the scorners of the Bible, they can mock all they want. But if you take each person within a home and you tell them, here's your responsibility before God, and each one of them performs it, let me tell you what you're going to have. You're going to have one of the most peaceful environments in all the world. Isn't that what you're going to have? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. If a husband loves his wife and a wife submits to her husband and the children say, yes, Mom, yes, Dad, whatever you say, you know best. Are you going to have problems in the home? You may still have some problems, but it won't be because the members of a family are bickering with one another. Again, you follow God's principles. You're going to have peace and prosperity. If you follow His order, you will have peace and prosperity. The last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Was everything orderly in the church in Corinth? No. You know why? Because people were not following God's order. As you read that chapter, they weren't taking turns when speaking in tongues. There was no interpreter. They weren't seeking to edify one another. They were seeking to build up themselves. And as a result, there was contention and there was strife. But if you would take each of those members of that church and you would explain to them their responsibilities, hey, your responsibility is to build up the others in the faith. Your responsibility is to keep quiet when someone else is talking. And explain to them all their other responsibilities. And they sought to do them. The contention and the strife in the church in Corinth would have ceased immediately. Why is that? Because there is always peace and prosperity when we follow God's order. How does this apply then to the subject of the pastor and his people? Both have a responsibility. We could say both have multiple responsibilities. But maybe a pastor's primary responsibility could be found in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 2, where it says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock." Maybe this is a summary of the pastor's responsibility. He's to feed. And he's to lead. Not just by what he says, but by how he lives. And we can also in the Bible find a summary of the people's responsibility towards their pastor. Hebrews 13:17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." As Brother Davis mentioned in his message, a church member would be very wise to listen to what their pastor has to say. And I don't say that because I'm your pastor or because I am a pastor. I've said before, Pastor Hendricks, I still perceive him as my pastor, whether he likes that or not. And just about whatever he tells me to do, that's what I do. Because he's my pastor. Now, Pastor Davis, he joked a little bit about the fact now he wasn't a pastor. Now he had a pastor. And how there were some things he was just always unsure about. He didn't know what to do, but he wasn't going to worry about those things not one bit anymore. All he was going to do is say, "Pastor, what should I do?" And then he was going to do it. And if people criticized him for it, he was just going to say, "Well, this is what my pastor told me to do." And again, I don't say these things because I am your pastor. I pastor a small church. I have very few examples to draw from. Pastor Davis has years and dozens of experiences to draw from. And what he has found, if someone will honor God by honoring their pastor and doing what they say, God will honor them. A pastor has his responsibility: feed the flock of God. Lead in word and deed. The people have an individual responsibility to obey their spiritual authority, to obey their pastor. And if this order is followed in a church, it will bring forth peace and prosperity. It would seem to me that it is impossible for a local assembly to prosper if the pastor doesn't love the people and the people doesn't love the pastor. I used to listen to preachers in the past say that I pastor the greatest church in all the world. And I used to think to myself, I wish I felt that way. But now I feel that way. And I have for some time. One of the reasons I don't leave this church, even though we don't experience a great deal of growth, is because I love the people of this church. And I think the people of this church love me. And I say again, I think that that puts us in a place where we can experience God's blessings. I don't know if the blessings are going to fall. That's in God's hands. But I think we are positioned to receive those blessings. Let's just keep making the right steps, keep making the right decisions, doing what God would have us to do. Because folks, that's when you'll find true peace and serenity in life. That's when life will begin to be prosperous. And in closing, let me say this, as we are looking at the subject of the pastor and his people. Jesus is our chief shepherd, and he is leading us. He oversees our lives, and he oversees them faithfully. And I want to encourage you to follow him, to give him your all, to say, where you lead me, I will follow. Because if you will take that type of approach towards the Bible and the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find that your life will be much more full and much more enjoyable. The pastor and his people. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would take the things that were said and help us as a church body. God, I pray that you would help me to be faithful with the responsibilities that you have entrusted me with. Lord, might you empower me to lead this church, not just by what I say, but do help me with that. But Lord, might you help me to lead by the way that I live my life, by the way I conduct myself. And Lord, might you help this people. Might you encourage them to follow their pastor. Lord, give me the grace not to lead astray, but to lead in the truths of the Word of God. Lord, help us to be a church that is positioned for revival and for your blessings. And we pray, God, for your blessings upon this assembly. Help us to see souls saved. Help us to see relationships reconciled. Help us, Lord, to see wonderful things at thy hands. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to hymn 393, Where He Leads Me. 393.